If I were to ask of all the verses in Philippians, or really all the verses in the Bible, we have come to the point where there's two verses that are probably some of the two that are most well known in the Bible. Sometimes it's the most well known verses that we don't get the most out of, because we think we've already covered it all in those verses. The two verses I'm talking about is Philippians 4:13 and Philippians 4:19, which is why I had us read that whole section. Most of you know Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And Philippians 4:19, "My God shall supply," the word that Brian kept emphasizing over and over again, "all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So in my mind right now, I'm building these messages that I'm preparing around those two verses. And right now we're focused on Philippians 4:13. And I want to begin by asking you, if we were to share, give an opportunity to share, what do you need? And we all were able to express our thoughts on what we need. There'd be lots of different aspects of that would be mentioned. But I think there'd be a common denominator in everything that would be shared. And I want to share some verses with you, and then you tell me the answer that's in my mind, which should be crystal clear as I share these verses with you. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord," what is the Lord? "The Lord is the strength of my life." That's Psalms 27. Psalms 19. I pray this all the time, getting ready to preach, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable to God. And God is identified right after that. "Oh Lord, my what? Redeemer and my strength." My strength and my redeemer. Nehemiah chapter 8, you talk about the joy book of the Bible and talking about God's strength. "The joy of the Lord," Nehemiah 8, verse 10, "the joy of the Lord is my strength." So if I lose my joy of the Lord, what else will I lose? My strength. "They that wait upon the Lord," Isaiah 40, verse 31. "They that wait upon the Lord," what will the Lord our God do? "Renew your strength." Now, there's been many times in my life, especially when we do the prayer sheet, have a lot of physical needs on there. And many times we mention the fact that a person doesn't have, their stamina is low. We're talking about their physical stamina is low. Is it possible to be low emotionally, stamina as far as emotionally being low? Is it possible in your soul to be, your stamina in your soul to be struggling alone? So you say, what's the point? The point is, I'm saying, what do we need today? We need God's strength. Psalms 22, verse 19. Be not thou far from me, O Lord, my strength. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Now, this is where we talk about connecting the grace of God. We're saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourself. What percentage are we talking about as far as that not of ourself? You know, it's not like we can have a certain percentage of taking care of things without God and then a certain percentage of things where we need God. It's not like that at all. "We are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as coming from ourselves." Our total, absolute sufficiency has always got to come from God. We have to constant need to be infused, constant need to be receiving his continual strengthening of us in our soul. You know, one place over there in the Old Testament, it talked about David was very discouraged because of the situation that was happening with the enemy coming in. And it talked about he had to go to God and he had to encourage. Who did he have to encourage? He had to encourage himself as he received strength from God. Listen, every one of us has a desperate need of that. Desperate need. Desperate need. I say, if you say, what do I need? I need God to strengthen me. Paul mentions it in Ephesians chapter 3, and there's two major prayers in Ephesians. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, he prays this way. Notice the word strength, that God, he's praying for believers, that God would strengthen us. Amen? That God would strengthen us with what? His might. That God would strengthen us with his might by his spirit. Where? In the inner man. I listen. If you don't have the strength in the inner man, you will lose the strength in the outer man. They go together. If we don't have the joy of our fellowship with Christ in the inner man, we're going to lose the strength we need for every situation of life. Now, be thou, this 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, thou therefore, my son, be strong. Paul's talking to Timothy that he discipled, his son in the faith that he discipled, and he said to Paul, Paul said to Timothy, be strong in what? In the grace. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ. And so Timothy as a pastor needed the strength of the Lord. Ephesians 6, talking about the armor of God, when he tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. If I don't receive the strength I need from God and from the Lord Jesus, it is nowhere else to be found. It's got to come from him. Now, with that said, as to what our need is, I'd like to shift gears with the ministry of Christ. And I actually jotted down the word that summarizes what I'd like to say here is dependence. I'm talking about total dependence. Total, absolute dependence. And I think in the Lord's ministry with his apostles, they learned one lesson after another lesson after another lesson of how totally dependent they were on Christ. Every time they turned around, they needed his strengthening of the situation they were facing. Sometimes it had to do with what Jesus said. When the Lord Jesus had to say to Peter, the apostle, get thee behind me. He didn't call him Peter. He said, get thee behind me, Satan. I mean, I tell you what, that right there, you need some dependency on God when the Lord Jesus has to say that to you. Because we don't perceive and interpret the cross properly. We don't understand the bearing of the cross properly. We don't understand the cross of Christ properly. And if we do not, then we're not going to be able to enter into his strength, the strength that God wants to give us through Christ. Sometimes it had to do with what they said to each other. One day the Lord said to his apostles, he said, he didn't say, what was that you were discussing along the way? He said, what was that you were disputing along the way? Do believers ever dispute with each other? Which, by the way, it tells us in the epistles, don't receive other believers for the purpose of doubtful disputations. We need to be careful of this disputing among believers, which I consider it to be vain jangling many times. There's no profit to it. After it's all said and done, there's no spiritual profit to it. Nobody knows Jesus Christ any better afterwards. And he's not worshipped any better or praised any more afterwards. It's vain jangling of disputing. But the apostles were disputing, and this is a big time problem that we all have. What were they disputing about? Who was going to be the greatest? And so the Lord had to infuse them. He had to strengthen them with their perception and their interpretation of his kingdom and his ways and his manner. And so we need constantly to see that the apostles kept coming up short, coming up short, coming up short. And the Lord Jesus had to keep explaining the truth and getting their eyesight and their understanding properly focused on receiving the strength that comes from his life. Sometimes it had to do with what they said about others. One day they said to the Lord Jesus, "There's a man over here that was casting out demons, but he doesn't dot his I's the way we do." Now, I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. "He doesn't cross his T's the way we do. And because he doesn't fit our mode," they had already gotten into a, But it's the idea of man putting together in his mind the ways of God in the form and the shape of how God works, instead of leaving that with God. Because God's not limited to a particular denominational form of his working. Amen? He's not limited. But they were starting to develop that type of mindset. And so the Lord said, "Don't forbid that man to cast out those demons." Again, their perception, their interpretation, their understanding. And listen, if we don't know the truth about whatever's going on in our circumstances and look at it the way God looks at it, will we be lacking in strength? Will it zap us of our strength? Will it take us down to the despondency? In Pilgrim's Progress, you know, he talked about the despondency. And we'll go down to despondency if we don't have God's perception, God's interpretation, God's understanding of our circumstances. Sometimes it had to do with their ministry. They said, they came back from the ministry that the Lord had sent them out on, and they said, "Lord," they said, in your name, even the demons are subject. They didn't say to you, they said unto us, which I think that's a little bit of a problem there. Amen. That's a little bit of a problem. Even the demons are subject to us. Listen, I am no match for any spiritual power of darkness. Amen. Only Christ is. But my point here is, what did the Lord say? He said, don't get rejoicing about the demons being subject. Think about the grace of God in your own life. Think about the mercy of God in your own life. Rejoice that your name is written where? In the Lamb's Book of Life. Listen, if your name's written there, it's not because you're a good person. It's not because you're a spiritual person. It's not because you had authority to cast out demons. Your name's written there because God's a merciful God. Your name's written there because God's a gracious God. Amen? That's why we rejoice. We rejoice of his saving us and redeeming us when we could not save ourselves. No hope whatsoever of saving ourselves. So you say, "Pastor, what are you trying to say?" I'm saying situation after situation after situation, the Lord had to keep explaining, keep interpreting, and they needed, here's the word, they were totally dependent on him to keep setting them straight. Now, that word dependence, I believe if I think I can be independent, I'm not going to think I need his strength. Everybody with me? If I think I can independently do something, then I'm not going to be thinking the desperation of me needing his strength. But if I realize, as Jesus very, very, very clearly said, he said, without me, what can we do without Christ? He said, without me, you can do nothing. That's total, absolute dependency. And the Lord also said, unless you become like a little child. It's kind of like to get things right with God, you got to go back to infancy. Because a baby needs its parents to totally take care of him. The baby is totally dependent on the parents. In one place, the Lord said, unless you become like a little child, not just a child, a little child, you'll never be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. You'll never be able to understand the ways of God. You'll never be able to be infused with my strength, my power, my grace. We have to be absolutely, totally dependent on him. If we're going to understand the reality of what Paul said when he said, I can do, what did he say? I can do all things through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens me. Now, I want to pick up on the all things part of that. You know, some of these verses, it's like God gives us a blank check. And some people go too far with it. It's like in John 15, when the Lord said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask, what did he say? You can ask in prayer. You can ask whatever you want to ask in prayer, and he said, I'm going to respond to it. That's a blank check. Well, what kind of a blank check is it? It's a blank check that's according to the Lord's righteousness. It's a blank check that's according to God's holiness. It's a blank check that's according to Christ's name. It's a blank check as far as what's according to God's will. Because if his word is abiding in me, then I know how to pray about what I'm praying about according to his will. And in 1 John, I think it's chapter 5 of 1 John, he says, if we ask anything according to his will, what do we know? We know he'll hear that prayer. Well, the way we have fogginess in our mind about how to pray, because we need to pray in accordance with his will. But how do we get that cleared up? We get it cleared up by his word. By his word. I was talking recently with somebody, and I was saying, please be careful of the signs and wonder types of stuff. Because there's miraculous things that can take place that are counterfeit and are working for the purpose of leading you astray. And the Bible in the Old Testament warns about it. It warns about it in the New Testament also. But in the Old Testament it said they'll do these signs and wonder miracles, and then after the miracle is done, they will lead you in their words and their teaching and instruction. They will lead you in a way that's contrary to what? The Word of God. So everything has to be tested. Everything in life has got to be tested by the absolute final authority of the Word of God. It's very dangerous, as one lady said to me years ago. I just wanted to meet with her and go over what I thought was in God's Word. And she said, I don't care what you show me in God's Word. I know what I have experienced. That's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. Everything has to be tested by God's word. Everything. To pray right, we have to test it by God's word. To interpret the miraculous of whatever's going on, we have to interpret it in the light of God's word. It warns us in the New Testament about these false prophets in the end times that will be able to do lying signs and wonders. And the whole purpose of it is to lead people away from the true and the living God. So we need spiritual discernment based on the Word of God to be strengthened with his might by his spirit in the inner man, so we know what's coming from God and what's not coming from God. Amen? We need God to strengthen us in our mind, strengthen us in our spirit, and, realize how totally desperate we are, totally dependent on God to give us that. We can't just get to it with our reasoning. We can't get to it with our intellect. It's got to be spiritual discernment. It's got to be the Holy Spirit teaching us. Holy Spirit opening our understanding to the Word of God. Now, the all things. I foolish example, but if in prayer I ask God to bless me, I'm getting ready to rob this bank. Would you please bless me with wisdom to rob this bank? Well, obviously God's not going to answer that prayer. He said, if you ask anything, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask whatever you want. Listen, God gives a blank check, but it's according to his holiness and his righteousness and his name. You can't get it. If you went to my bank and I wrote you a check for $5 million, you're not going to get it out of my bank. My name is not worth that much. But when you understand the name of Christ and what his name stands for, the Bible says we run to his name, understanding what his name represents. And it says when we run to his name, we're safe, we're protected. We're able to be under his shelter of protection from deception. That's why when we don't just tack on at the end of our prayer, in Jesus' name, as a formula of you're supposed to say this. No, when we pray in Jesus' name, it's all about who Jesus Christ is. It's all about how he himself did everything he did according to the Father's will, which is what I want to get to here. If we're going to be strengthened with might, if we're going to receive God's strength, we've got to be concerned about God's will. God's will. If my will is overriding God's will, God calls it iniquity. That's what iniquity is. Iniquity, I may be doing something good, I may be doing something right, but if I'm not doing what God's will is for that moment, then whatever I'm doing is a work of iniquity. Remember it says on Judgment Day, many people are going to say, Lord, didn't I do this? Didn't I prophesy? Didn't I cast out demons? Didn't I do many wonderful works in thy name? And the Lord's going to have to say, depart from me. I never had a relationship with you. Your will was overriding. You weren't doing what you're doing according to my will. You was doing according to your own will. So I want to give a few examples so that we'll understand how to receive his strength. If we're going to be strengthened by the Lord Jesus himself, then how did he conduct himself in his life? It was all about his Father's will. Here was the devil that said to the Lord Jesus when he was being tempted in the wilderness, he said, if you be the Son of God, what did he say? If you're the Son of God, do a miracle. And what kind of miracle did he want him to do? Turn these stones into bread. Now, if you just look at the surface of that, you might think he's tempting him to prove he's the Son of God. But I think it's much bigger than that. See, the Lord was being tempted by the devil, not because the devil arbitrarily showed up at the scene. The devil didn't just arbitrarily show up. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be tested. So this appointment with the devil was at God's providential putting together. And everything in life, as has been already well said today, is under God's sovereign orchestration. Everything. Including the evil of man. God said in Psalm 70-something, he said, surely the wrath of men will praise me, and if it does not praise me, what will I do with it? I'll restrain it. So if God wants to restrain what man's doing, he can restrain it anytime he wants to. God only allows what's taking place, what's moving his purposes and his plans forward to accomplish his will. Amen? That's what it's all about. He does according to his will in heaven and on earth. And Nebuchadnezzar said it, none can stay his hand. Praise be to God. Praise be to our true and living God. I mean, that should give us great hope, great confidence, great boldness, great courage. So, why was Jesus fasting? He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. He was led to fast for whatever amount of time the Father had in mind for this time of testing. I think the bigger issue of what was going on there was he wanted the Lord Jesus to step outside of the Father's will as far as when he would eat. And the Lord was only going to break the fast when it was the Father's will. Because everything about our Lord was, he always did that which pleased the Father. Here was the news the two sisters brought to the Lord Jesus about, they sent about Lazarus. And the Bible tells that Jesus purposely delayed his coming. Why did he delay his coming? It wasn't because he didn't love Lazarus. I mean, he had a close relationship with Lazarus in his humanity above what he had with many other people and those sisters. Well, why did he delay his coming? He delayed his coming because he understood what his Father's will was. His Father's will was bigger than healing Lazarus of his sickness. His Father's will was to raise a dead man from the dead that's been dead how many days? Enough that the body is stinking. And so that when that miracle was done and so many people started to believe that he was indeed the Messiah, the religious leader said, this man is going to have to die, and he's going to have to die now. The Lord Jesus knew that what was happening with Lazarus all had to do with his Father's will for the timing of his crucifixion. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say one of the greatest factors of us being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man is that we yield our will. If I insist that I've got a better plan for my life than God does, I must think I have a bigger mind than God, a greater mind than God. When his mind is infinite and my mind is so minuscule compared to his mind. There's lots of things in my life I would not have chosen to come my way if God had given me the choice. But when I look back on it, everything that God allowed in my life and continues to allow in my life has been for my good, for my blessing. So if he's going to strengthen me, if I can truly say I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, I've got to go back to that phrase that I mentioned last Sunday, I believe it was, when Paul said, I trust to send Timothy to you in Philippians. Remember, he said, I trust to send Timothy to you in the Lord. He said, furthermore, I trust to come myself also in the Lord. Why did he qualify what he was saying about his coming and Timothy's coming? Why did he qualify it with the words in the Lord? Because of what James says. Come now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we'll do whatever we're going to say we're going to be able to do. Buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what a day may bring forth. We ought to say, yes, I hope to come see you if the Lord wills. Yes, I hope to send Timothy to you if the Lord wills. That's what that phrase means when he says in the Lord. We have to qualify. Yes, we have some semblance of which way to go, which way to head, but it's been my experience. I start heading in a certain way that I think God wants me to head in. Listen, not only are the steps of a good man ordered of the Lord, the stops of a good man are ordered of the Lord. God has to stop us, and he also has to start us. But it's been my experience that if I'm moving, I should be moving with God. I'm moving with God to the best of my ability, but it's been my experience, just like Paul, he tried to go north on his missionary journey. What forbid him to go north? The Holy Spirit. He tried to go south on his missionary journey. What forbid him? The Holy Spirit. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say he could have kept going north if he insisted on his own will. He could have kept going south if he insisted on his own will. And if he had done that, Philippi, Thessalonica, Corinth, and so many of the epistles that were over there across the Macedonian Sea, those were the people that God was leading him to. He wanted him to go west. And because he went west in accordance with the will of God, there was so much spiritual fruit that came, and a large portion of the New Testament was written. So I just want to summarize by saying, I can do all things. That all things doesn't mean I can do whatever I want to do. Everybody with me? It's not a blank check and say, well, you just do whatever you want to do. No, far be it from that. If I get in the yoke with Christ, and Christ wants to go that way, and I want to go this way, there's going to be some pain in my life. There's going to be some torment in my life. There's going to be some despondency in my life. But if I'm moving with him in the yoke, in the direction he wants to go, I will be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the manner. Because whatever God's calling me to, whatever God's leading me to in Christ, close with this. The will of God will never lead you where the grace of God cannot keep you. That's why Paul said to Timothy, be strong. Be strong in what? The grace of God. And I don't get the grace from God if I'm insisting on my own will, the operation of his grace will not be able to function. But if I'm yielding my will to his will, I'll be able to be strengthened in whatever he's up to cooperate with him in his will and not my own. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for such a wonderful fellowship every week, such a wonderful worship time every Sunday. Lord, a Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we don't have meetings and plan. Okay, what are we going to do this Sunday? I want to thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit here in powerful, supernatural ways. The way you put the service together, the way you orchestrate, the way you rule and overrule. I thank you that you are a sovereign God. And I thank you that you are working your will in the heavens and on earth, and none can stay your hand. And if we'll yield our will to your will, we'll get the joy and the strength. But if we keep insisting that my will be done, we'll be very much lacking in joy and strength. So, Lord, teach us like you did your apostles when they thought they knew your will. Time after time after time, you had to explain to them your perspective on what they didn't understand. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.